All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to America Unplugged. It is a Saturday afternoon here in New York City. Welcome. Happy to see everybody here. What's going on? My name is Billy Ray Valentine, Billy the Kid, and I'm hanging with the usual suspects, ladies and gents, the wisest of all the wolves, Mr. Tony Atterburn. He's been making the rounds around the alternative media lately, and now he's back home. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, I guess it's my turn in the barrel. Not too big of mistakes yet. I think the appearances have been okay.
Oh, they've been
so this is my favorite appearance. You know, on the periodic table, gold is AU.
AU.
And that's not a coincidence. I mean, this is the gold standard of news analysis weekly. So glad to be here with you and the legendary Don Jeffries.
Thanks for bringing that back because I have forgotten about it. I appreciate it. What is up, Don Jeffries, the legendary? What's going on, sir? How are you?
Yeah, always happy to be here and start out my Saturday. On a bright note, well, not, we'll be talking about depressing subjects, but it's great talking about them with you guys.
if there was ever a silver lining, right? Yeah, it's really depressing, but at least we could talk about it with you guys and the people here at America Unplugged. Hey, we're going to get into some stuff today. Quite a bit to talk about. So let's lead off with TikTok for all the kids out there. I can honestly say that I've never been on TikTok. I've been on Instagram where they have TikTok memes or whatever, or TikTok videos, but I've never been on TikTok itself. Now it's a huge, huge social media platform coming out of China. And now the United States government, the Biden administration, has decided to reach out to TikTok influencers and let them know what's going on in the Ukraine and Russia. Of course, they're providing the true narrative, the real science, like Anthony Fauci. Biden is providing this to TikTok influencers in order to, of course, disseminate that information amongst the people, the young people, and whomever else seems to be on TikTok. Here in the United States and throughout the world, ladies and gents, that's what's going on. Talk about mind control. Mr. Tony Atterburn, what do you have to say?
Let me see if I could take this line of logic here. You have a Chinese company that develops an app, and then people become influencers, and those influencers are in the U.S. So globalists who run the United States government are taking influencers from a Chinese app and teaching them about a war in Ukraine, which the Chinese support the Russians.
Right.
But they've got the Chinese have press agents embedded with the Russian military, kind of like we did in the Iraq invasion, which would mean that's the right side to be on, right? You have embedded troops or embedded reporters with the troops. So this is this is kind of the times in which we live. But what the White House, if you recall, it was, what is that, 4 or 5 months ago, they had that weird caricature of a guy with the long fingernails going with Jen Psaki. And I was like, is this weird? You know, this is a joke or is this? No, it was just, that's an influencer. Notice that we could never be influencers, Billy, because we'll get to a certain level, like on these technocratic control platforms. Right. We were having this conversation before we went live, and they'll just cut us off. So if you're reaching the level where the globalists are telling you how to disseminate information, you're probably part of the problem.
Right. No, absolutely. You know, and a lot of these people, these influencers, quote unquote, they have no freaking idea what's going on. They're like, oh my God, the White House just reached out to me. You know, I just got an email or a postcard from Joe Biden himself, and they want to talk to me, let alone me who's on TikTok and, you know, talking about nonsense, probably the celebrity gossip or video games or whatever, right? Or doing dumb stuff that gets attention, like, I don't know, Batmaning or something, right? Some nonsense like that. But these are the people. I mean, it's a very sound strategy on behalf of the New World Order, right? Like, these are the people that people are watching, people that are influencing, right? And they can manipulate minds that way. They can mold perception through these people. And I don't want to use the term useful idiot, but that's what's going on here, right? Maybe we should talk about a better term to use for this. But for lack of a better term right now, that's what it is. That's what's going on here. These people are being manipulated. They don't know what's going on for the most part. And they're just happy to do it because it's coming from the White House and they feel like they've reached a certain level as a result. And they're like, okay, so what are you telling me? The White House wouldn't lie to me, right? They're telling me exactly what's going on, right? There's no varying perceptions here. There's only the truth. That's all. So I will take what they tell me, And I will tell the people that follow me exactly that. You know, go ahead, Don Jeffries.
Yeah, well, it's an indictment of, again, where our level of discourse is. I mean, now they're going to the TikTok people. My daughter loves TikTok and all her friends. I mean, this is, if you've watched some of the videos on TikTok, I mean, it's not, I don't know what an influencer does there, but I mean, maybe next they'll go after the Cast Me Outside girl. Remember the 13-year-old girl a few years back who became a sensation for Cast Me Outside, and not cash, but I mean, I don't know how these things go viral. Well, somehow hers did. She ended up being on Dr. Phil. And some, I mean, I don't know. She's probably got $1 million for all I know. But, you know, he's probably got an 80 IQ, too. But, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's fitting that this administration, especially with the vice president who is basically, you know, is his brain is TikTok, I guess. He doesn't know what's going on. And Kamala Harris, who is at that level. I mean, she's probably too old to be on TikTok, but basically everything she says is kind of TikTok, Instagram friendly. I mean, she's putting out sound bites for blithering idiots. I mean, nobody can understand what she's done. She's you know, I do not like it, Sam, I am. I mean, she's at that level. And so it's perfectly fitting. And maybe they'll find one of these influencers. I guess the Cast Me Outside girl's probably not old enough yet, but why not? I mean, the Biden administration is full of these people now. They just named somebody the other day. They were proudly showing the guy in a red dress and red lipstick, which also covered his mustache, which made it red as well, and a shaved head. And I think he's Assistant Secretary of Defense or so. I don't even. This is absurd. I mean, it's a clown show like we've never seen. So TikTok feels right, you know, fits right in. Bring them on. I mean, why not? I mean, they probably, at this point, they probably, even among some of the influences there, they may have somebody on TikTok even that has more insight than Biden and Kamala Harris have.
Notice they don't have Telegram influencers.
No.
Those right. are a different type of influencers, Tony. Over Telegram. I've made a conscious decision to not engage over at Telegram. I don't want to be involved. I am sorry. I know it's used for good things. I know a lot of people that are a lot of good people there, but the influencers over on Telegram are not what I want to be involved with. So I've separated myself from that, just like I've separated myself from TikTok. Now they got some, I don't know any of these people. I looked some of them up, the top TikTok influencers of 2021, which means they may not be top TikTok influencers anymore because it's here today, gone today. But let me see. What is this? Rodrigo Contreras. I don't know who the hell that is, but he's supposed to be the dude. Lauren Gray. You know, these are the top ones. So I'm sure these were the ones that were targeted. Taylor Cassidy. Man, what else we got here? Gil Corse. I don't know any of these people, but these people are Baby Ariel. These people are Spencer X. Sounds like a QAnon guy. Holy H. You know, listen. We could keep going on and on. Zach King. But I have no idea who these people are or what they do. But apparently people like them, you know, they are the ones that are now responsible for spreading the official narrative on what's going on in the Ukraine. Listen, Tone. you know, it's concerning, though, because they're playing an evil genius game here, Tone, in my opinion. Right. They're planting these seeds to kids, you know, and they're the most impressionable, you know, children, kids, teenagers. Right. And they're planting the seed of how the New World Order wants them to see the world, how the New World Order wants them to look at this conflict going on over there. On top of all the other bombardment that they're getting from the mainstream media, they're going to also get it on TikTok. I had somebody tell me today, I don't go to TikTok for news. I go to TikTok for entertainment. But why are they doing this now? You know, go ahead, Tom.
Well, it's like Sun Tzu talked about, you know, the battles are won in the temples. And, you know, the modern day temples are the social media, right? The public, digital public square. We change the hearts and minds. That's the phrase from Vietnam. So, you know, When you sever the roots of a people, when you take away the historical perspective and you just put the perspective of now and it comes straight from the top, that's a good way to prepare your younger generation for endless warfare. And this is Orwellian, you know, war is peace. They have no clue as to what led up to this conflict. And they, and again, if you talk about what led up to this conflict in the mainstream, you're now a Putin supporter. You're a Russian sympathizer. You're a traitor. You know, all these things. This will become worse and worse as time goes on. But that, you know, go for the young people. And again, I think that's the key here. And the other platforms, like we mentioned, you know, where's Telegram? Where's Gab? Where's the Gab influencer?
It's just
these controlled platforms that they, you know, they know that they can censor. They know that in real time, anybody who reaches a certain level has been, verified in a way by the power of the beast. So yeah, this is dangerous ground. This is war propaganda of the highest order. You have to look at the headlines of Drudge. You have a world leader, you have Vladimir Putin, and he's got this weird scowl. I should probably pull it up. He's got some, like, he looks crazy, like
angry,
he's pushing the button. And this is not an accident. These media outlets are coordinated for this war effort.
Right. He looks like a rabid dog. Looks like he's ready to bite someone in that picture. You know, I saw it this morning and thought the same thing. And they put these pictures out looking the way they do on purpose, just like you said, to set perception. It is mind control. It's very subtle mind control, but it is mind control. There he goes. Look at him. You see him, Don?
He's set for war.
Look at him. He's going to bite you. He's going to bite you. Look at him. Like, don't get close. Don't get close to Mr. Vladimir Putin. What's up, Don? Tell me something.
He's going to take his shirt off. Yeah. No,
ride a horse.
Stop him before he takes his shirt off. But, I don't know how much of an influence or anybody can be on TikTok. Hey, as I understand it, I think they're limiting those videos to 10 seconds or something. I mean, and again, it's appropriate for America's lack of attention span now. I mean, they have about a 10 second attention span, basically. So it makes sense, you know, but I don't know exactly what kind of astute analysis you can make in 10 seconds. But I don't know what to believe. You know, Putin, what I read from these quotes I read from him on alternative websites, I don't know if they're real or not, but some of it is, you know, about as radical as anything I've ever read. You know, he talks about taking the New World Order away from the Satanist. I don't know if he's saying that or not. But, if he is, hey, man, I'm in full support of whatever you're doing. Come liberate us, Vlad. You know, and a lot of Americans are actually saying that, you know. But, again, I have no idea. Like I said, it doesn't matter when you talk about this conflict. I tell people, I don't care who the good guy or bad guy is, if there is any. They're both probably controlled, because they always are. Right. But regardless, it's nothing to do with us. I mean, the world is messed up. If you look in some of the third world countries, and there's all kinds of awful things happening. But we just intervene where we want. You know, we decide to pick and choose. And I don't know what's going to happen here, but ridiculous media is just beating the drum for our involvement. And so I don't know. They might be able to stop it. The one good thing has happened. COVID's out of the headlines. So apparently maybe people will eventually, maybe they'll tell you to start wearing your mask for if you support the war. I don't know. You might as well, because it's basically the same premise.
if you support the war, please wear two or three masks, please, in blue and yellow. otherwise we're not gonna, you know, we're not gonna support that. It's not gonna be valid. Like another thing I want to talk about in relation to this, and then we'll move on, is the fact that and we spoke about it on other shows. It has gotten to a point where there's a lot of people that just don't trust anything anymore. And I think that's part of the psyop. They don't trust the mainstream media. Right. They don't trust CNN. They don't trust Fox after the whole COVID thing. Right. They don't trust OAN. They don't trust any of this. And they shouldn't. But they also don't trust anything else. Right. They don't trust. And to be honest with you, I completely understand. Right. We need to figure out that this is part of the psyop. Right. And it's we'll be completely completely confused, not knowing where to turn, not knowing who to trust. We're going to have to start doing our own research. And I mean, I know a lot of us already do here in the alternative media, but that's what we're going to have to push for even more, because it's just disinformation and an information war everywhere you turn. It's not they're not giving you facts. They're giving you their opinion and the way they want you to think. That's what they're giving you. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, I have to echo the late, great Bill Cooper. You know, he said, believe nothing that you hear from me or any Dan Rather or the President of the United States until you can prove it with your own research. And that's become harder. So again, my sympathies to everyday people who are just trying to find out what's going on, because it is an information war. There's propaganda like we've never seen. It's next level with the technology that we have today. There's AI, there's bots, there's countries with, I mean, there's globalist interests, there's nationalist interests, there's all these things happening at the same time. Finding the truth is becoming harder and harder. I think that's what we're in the business trying to help people do, find the truth. And, you know, you can generally tell who's committed to a certain level of research. And that's the people that, I don't want to put this in the wrong way, but if you reach a certain level, right, if you go to a certain level, there's a place where you kind of just go beyond talking about things that are controversial and you maybe pick a side. Be wary of those things. Be wary of partisan outlets where they've picked a side or a person and they deviate only if that person deviates. Be careful of that. If you understand what I'm talking about, this is the left-right paradigm of the alternative media. You have to be careful of those kind of things. But, you know, I have to ask a question too, this whole war propaganda. And a lot of times questions in the Socratic method will help people understand what's going on. Just a thought experiment. How many people would be changing their profile pictures on Facebook for Taiwan? I probably would guess it would just be people from Taiwan, or a few, and some people who have sympathies for people that were, you know, invaded by a larger country. But you have to understand, I think this is being pushed. Taiwan wouldn't be on the list of, there wouldn't be a Churchill in Taiwan. We wouldn't be pushing that up, right? Because of Chinese interest and globalist interest, and Russia doesn't have that kind of money. You understand? So that's a good place to start. If you want to know where all this stands and where things come from, you got to follow the money and follow the influence. And the influence right now is coming from the globalists, and the globalists have ties to China. If China invaded Taiwan, it wouldn't be like it is today.
Right. It's all on the presentation, right? If the New World Order here in the United States wanted, and we may find out very soon. So if China walks into Taiwan, but you know, if the New World Order wanted to do it, they'd just get people to do it, you know, the way it was presented, you know, just like the Ukraine or Russia situation has been presented. But it would probably be presented in a different type of way, and people wouldn't go out and readily put this up on their pages. I'm sure there'd be some that would do it, but most wouldn't, like you said. But to that point, let's talk about the Ukraine and its comparisons, or you know, its comparisons in relation to Yemen, right? And we can branch into Kashmir, even though I know a little bit less about Kashmir, but I'm sure Tony and Don are well aware of what's going on over there. But we don't hear anything about Yemen over here. Nothing. Where are people putting up, the Yemeni colors, right? Why isn't that happening? And hasn't happened in forever, right? And it's kind of the same situation because, the Saudis want Yemen to gain, an advantage over Iran. And it's kind of the same situation over in the Ukraine with NATO. And we've been over that. And Tone will probably elaborate on it. But it's the same thing. And it's even worse. Well, I don't want to compare that. You know, I don't know if it's even worse, but it's the same type of situation going on in Yemen. But nobody seems to give a shit here in the United States. What's up, Tom?
No, nobody cares. It's not on the front pages anywhere. And this is under the Trump administration, and of course, extending from the Obama administration. But you know, the Saudis are fighting a proxy war in Yemen with, and it's backed by the U.S. Some estimates have it at like 300,000 dead. And who mourns for them? Where's the profile pictures being changed? You know, this is the people just fighting for their own way. That you have these governments, these powerful governments like Saudi Arabia and the United States, fighting these wars in their countries. What are we doing there? What interest does it serve? Well, we're just doing the bidding of Saudi Arabia. You know, at that point, it's just evil. There's no upside there, and that's what gets lost in all of this. You know, everybody's going to talk about the newest thing, but we have to give some, I think, clarity to everything that's happening in the world when it comes to foreign policy, because there's things that they don't want you to talk about, right? There's things that they're in plain sight, right, but they don't want you to talk about them. And they'll say, well, this is, don't look over here, look over here. And look, Zelensky, he's the new Churchill. I mean, this is, if it wasn't so sad, if it wasn't so, I just don't, so depressing that we're pushing this, it would be comical. And right, it's literally run, you know, the Ukraine is run by a comedian. So I don't know if that somehow that fits into the narrative, but I want to know what does Don think about all this? I mean, we haven't even, this is on us too. We don't talk about Yemen.
No.
Because it's not really anywhere. But I think of it now and again when we talk about Ukraine. I'm like, wait a minute. We just, you know, the amount of people killed by killer robots under the Obama administration and Trump and dropped more bombs than the previous administration. So we don't ever talk about, what about all those people at wedding parties and the civilians and the U.S. citizens that we killed U.S. citizens with flying robots, the drones, and no trial, no jury, no nothing, just dead.
Yeah.
And we killed their families.
Wow.
And, you know, and so, but we're going to fight for democracy, you know, and why don't we invade ourselves? Because we lost that. What are we doing here? This whole thing is insane, and we know that. But again, pointing out the hypocrisy, I guess, is part of our job.
Right. And we have talked about Yemen. We don't do it consistently, though. But we have, in particular with the Trump administration, we had to bring that up. You know, he didn't start any new wars, but he certainly continued them. And we can make an argument that he started new wars also, a la Venezuela. Anyway, go ahead, sir. Don Jeffries, we want your take.
Yeah, well, again, I think obviously Tony makes some great points, and I guess maybe Yemen needs to install a president that can play the piano with his penis, because he's a multi-talented guy. You know, not too many heads of state can do that. So maybe that's why he's so beloved by the people. But, and this is why, you know, this interventionist foreign policy of ours is so disastrous in all respects, because what it does is, as I've said over and over again, it picks and chooses. And we don't know that much about the world, really. And there are parts of the world that haven't even been accessed in the middle of the Brazilian forests and people like that. I mean, you know, mankind can't even get to it. We don't have really any idea what's going on in a lot of places. And even if we do, we pick and choose. Some of the horrific things that are happening in Africa or whatever places like that, you know, we don't get involved there. Because there's no great stake, and there's no Zionist agenda behind it or whatever, but we pick and choose these little battles. You know, going back to Kuwait, you know, or Iraq, and then invaded Kuwait, which was a tiny artificial oligarchy created, you know, consisting mostly of oil plutocrats. But you know, we did that. But you know, go back to the Soviet Union, when the Soviets were really taking over the world, unlike Vladimir Putin, they were rolling into Hungary and Poland and countries like that. Nobody, the left, least of all the left, even the right really didn't, but the left certainly didn't demand we do something. Because again, they were sympathetic then to the Soviets. They wanted the international, you know, they wanted a one world government. Now, because Putin is apparently, and again, you made a great point about not trusting any, I don't know who to trust either. Mm. But a lot of the things I read about is that, you know, Putin's building all kinds of churches again in Russia. Is he? I don't know. That's what some of the alternative media say. And did he really say those things about the leaders of the New World Order worshiping Satan? And did he put out an arrest warrant for the Rothschilds and ban GMO foods? All that sounds really good to me, if he did. But I also seen pictures of him shaking hands with Klaus Schwab. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on. These people are all actors. But that's why we need to withdraw from the world to the extent of, you go back to George Washington's foreign policy, which was the best we've ever had. You know what he said? Entangling alliances with none. Cordial relations with all. So you don't have embargoes like you did on Cuba and things like that. You openly, you know, deal in terms of trading with people, fair trading though, not the crazy trade deals we have, and be cordial to them all. You can have embassies with every country in the world, but you don't get involved. You don't get entangling alliances. And if they have their little disputes and wars, you know, that's their business. Nothing to do with this. But nobody sees it that way in the United States, because by this foreign policy hobgoblin agenda that we have, by doing this, we can always right now look at what's happening in this country. I mean, it's crumbling like never before. We had these, you know, these caricatures, these cartoon caricatures like Biden and Kamala Harris that are up there, Nancy Pelosi, people like that that are just the worst people possible that should be running anything. I mean, Nancy Pelosi and Biden, I don't even think they'd be qualified to be any kind of a group leader in a nursing home. I mean, these people are absurd, and to be leaders of our country. And so it's the laughing stock of the world. But even these people, if you can distract the masses, and apparently the American people are always able to be distracted, we have to go after him. Yeah, you know, don't pay attention to what's going on here. Look at what's happening over there. We have to stop that. Show a few pictures of women holding babies and burn that building somewhere. Nobody knows where they're at, really. But, you know, well, look at that devastation. It could have been something we did, many of the countries like Yemen or wherever else we've got. But people respond to these pictures, these images, because that's part of identity politics. And half of the 50% or whatever it is of Americans that are clinging to their masks and buying the COVID narrative and still have Trump derangement syndrome, that don't believe in free speech anymore, they're so completely sold on identity politics, which means it's all about emotion. How did that picture make me feel? We have to do something. I can virtue signal by waving the Ukrainian flag. It makes me feel good.
Right.
And that's all about. It's empty. It's like, you know, it's like eating at McDonald's. It's empty, you know, no nutritional value whatsoever. And that's what identity politics is. And so TikTok, going back to that, it's perfect for that because it's about as empty as you can be. A bunch of young kids who don't understand anything, least of all Ukraine and Russia, putting out 10-second videos. So I don't know what they'll do. Like, it's 10 seconds to the Ukrainian flag or Zelensky or something. I don't know.
Let's see, man. Tone, closing thoughts on this.
Well, Don brought up a great point, you know, wondering why the response the way it is, you know, we're especially from our government. And I've been trying to put this in a historical context. And when he was talking, I just remembered, gosh, you know, you go back to 1941 and people talk about Churchill and the Battle of Britain and, you know, the finest hour. Where was the United States at that time? We weren't doing anything to intervene. We didn't have any, we were staying neutral in 1941 until one event, and that is when the Nazis invaded the Soviet Union, Operation Barbarossa, on June 23rd, 1941. The State Department and the government of the United States says, now we got to get in this thing because they're attacking communists. It was they were never on board for going and helping the British. And of course, there wasn't really a war plan to invade Britain at the time. That was never on the table. It was not part of the Third Reich's agenda. They wanted to go after Soviet Russia the whole time. When they did, that's when we got involved. That's when our State Department, and later you had, you know, Joe McCarthy saying, I got this list of, you know, 100 communists inside the State Department. Well, guess what? I can do the same thing now. Just print all the names off. It's all communists, right? It's pervasive, the whole thing. And I was talking about yesterday when the Soviet Union put down the Hungarian, not necessarily a revolution, but they had a, you know, they were trying to separate and become independent. The Soviets sent in tanks and put that down. Eisenhower did nothing. And again, this is our government. As long as they're communists, we don't do anything. But when they change, when they're not communists anymore, that makes a lot of sense now that I see. Don brought up the point about kicking out the Rothschilds. I don't know how much of that's true, but apparently, you know, George Soros has a, he's wanted in Russia. I think I've read quotes of dead or alive from Vladimir Putin. I don't know how much of that's theater, but they're definitely not communists anymore. And that doesn't serve the agenda of our leaders.
No, I want to point out too that when Tony said that people, they didn't do anything to that. And I should have brought up Korean Airlines 007, the flight that Lawrence, Congressman Larry McDonald, who was the only, he was a real conspiracy theorist. He wrote the foreword to Gary Allen's "None Dare Call a Conspiracy," which is, you know, Bible among conspiracy believers. This guy, you know, he was on board. So an American congressman was shot down and killed during the Reagan years, and this is Mr. Anti-Communist, right? Reagan did absolutely nothing. And I don't know what he should have done, but to me, there was a more justification to do something when an airline was shot out of the sky that included an American congressman by the Soviets. But then what's going on now? Where nothing's happening. Putin did nothing to any Americans. But nobody did anything. And that was under the biggest anti-commie guy you could find. This is Reagan. You know, he destroyed the Soviet Union, right? Well, he did absolutely nothing when they did that. And I think it's amazing how, what will we do now if Putin shot down an airliner with, Maxine Waters on board or something? I mean, can you imagine the outrage?
Let's hope that doesn't happen.
I'm not wishing for it. No, exactly.
No, I know you're not. Anyway, let's shift gears here. Let's talk about Deshaun Watson. You wanted to talk about him just a little bit, Don, and I wasn't even hip to the situation until you brought it up. I'm like, a football player? And now I remember from way back when, this has been going on for a bit, he allegedly sexually assaulted a few women, 22 of them to be exact, if I'm not mistaken. You let me know, Don, and then we'll go to Tom.
Yeah, well, there are 22 allegations out there. Now, again, I find this is how our injustice system works. When somebody in a position like Watson, and it doesn't matter, again, now Watson's black, but it wouldn't matter if he was purple. He's in a prominent position. He's already got millions of dollars, so he can hire real attorneys, unlike most people can't hire anybody, get public defenders. So Watson would have been in prison this entire time awaiting trial if he wasn't an NFL player. Clearly, there's no question about it. Feminist groups would have been outraged. Yeah. Overall, oh my God, you haven't heard a peep from any of them. And what I find amazing is that justice, I think these allegations are, it was before last NFL season, so we're coming up to almost a year when all these allegations came out, one after the other. The Houston Texans never released him. Now, they did, to their credit, they just declared him inactive the entire season. I guess Roger Goodell, hard-ass Goodell, did nothing. He didn't suspend him or say anything, and he won't do anything now. He won't suspend him. Maybe three games or something meaningless like that, but he'll give him a slap on the wrist.
Right.
But this is... Again, it points out just one of the many aspects of what's wrong with America. You can't have a civilization where laws and standards of conduct and rules are so blatantly, overlooked for some people. And, same time, I can't help but, think of the political prisoners we have in Washington, D.C., who didn't assault any women, let alone 22. Who marched into the Capitol, and the worst they did, a couple of them were probably government undercover agents, broke a couple windows. They've been sitting there without bail, beaten, some of them beaten in solitary confinement, allegedly. Congressmen that tried to check on it weren't even allowed to prison, so we don't know. But we hear tales of people come out, but they're still there. Some of them are still there. One guy was convicted the other day. I think he could serve up to 6 years in prison. Yeah, no weapons, nothing. This is insane. And yet you juxtapose that against something like this, where 22 women accused this guy of sexual assault. Okay, say even half of them were lying. Still 11. If you want to show, the odds are that 22 women didn't make up the same. They're all massage parlor people, and they all made up the same kind of stuff. They described the same behavior. Clearly, that's in a real legal system, and a guy that was Deshaun Watson, working at McDonald's, that would be considered primary evidence, and his ass would have been convicted, and he would already been in prison for a lifelong prison sentence, maybe the rest of his life.
After one.
So this is what we need to look at, but nobody looked at it that way, and I just fed up to it the thing is, nothing will happen to him, and all those white supremacist NFL owners will fall all over themselves to hire him. And all the drunk white fans in the stands will fall over themselves cheering him on. Yeah. And so there's something really wrong with our society when, even if he was the greatest player in the world, something wrong when you worship somebody just because of what they can do with the ball, no matter what they're doing off the field, because at the point where it will go like what they did actually back in the 60s and 70s, where some of the fighters got big fights. Boxers were in prison at the time. They had fights in prison. So let's go to that. I'm sure you can find a lot of guys on death row that can play football. Why not? Because that's basically what they're doing. And it just points out how decrepit and how deranged our culture is. And I just, you know, I'm a big sports fan, or I was, and it just, I lose more interest in it every day because I can't condone myself rooting for a league that has an organization that allows these kinds of people to be making millions of dollars.
Right, man. And with cancel culture being the way it is, right? Like, you would think they'd take a different approach, but ultimately, yeah, that's not what's going on. And they've been very effective at switching this into a race issue. You know, very, very effective in the divide. They don't really want to talk to you about the actual divide, which is, you know, socioeconomic status, you know, which is how much money you have in the bank. You know, green is the only real color that they look at. Right. So they've been really effective at shifting from that. And in so many instances, it's been, oh, look, they're doing this because he's a black man. You know, they're doing this because of this, because of that. But Deshaun Watson is a multimillionaire, like actually fairly good quarterback in the NFL. And that changes things, you know. So 22 women can accuse you of rape and you're walking the streets. But anybody listening to this broadcast right now, including the three people here that are broadcasting to you, if any of that happened to us, we would be in jail ASAP, okay? After one, and we wouldn't be coming out of jail for a long, long time. And we really need to realize what the differences here are. Look at O.J. Simpson, look at Bill Cosby, you know, and what they were able to get away with. And if you want to go, you know, to the other side of things, look at Donald Trump. I think it's in excess of 30 women that have accused him of stuff, and nothing happens, you know. And these are people that have incredible amounts of resources and money to be able to fight back. And that's what the legal system is. It's how much money do you have? That's really what it is. Tone, what's up?
Yeah, justice isn't blind anymore. It's bribed.
Right.
Don talks about the injustice system and how you're lucky if you never have to be a part of it, if you never have to go through it. But yeah, you're right. I mean, if any of us were accused of it, we're done. And that has to do with our truth-telling and our love for liberty and individual rights. Yeah, you got to be careful too, because money itself doesn't seem to be able to buy you out of your political persecution. Hmm. Like, if you have a certain set of beliefs, that's very dangerous, even if you have money. So we have it's very convoluted. It all points in one direction, but you know, we give special privileges to the actors who carry out bread and circus in this country. Right. And they should take care to know that once they're not talented anymore, you better watch that behavior. Once your natural abilities run out, even if you have a little money, the powers that be just might get, you know, be tired of you, and you will be cast away. So it's all temporary. That's how it is in this country. That's, again, you know, we got away from Lex Rex, you know, the law is king, and now it's just the rulers. The people behind the scenes call the shots, and they get to decide who gets to be thrown in the volcano. I've often been fascinated with people like Harvey Weinstein. You know, like, what would Harvey Weinstein's life have been like if Hillary won? Would they have had the Me Too movement? Would he have been thrown in the volcano? He didn't seem to be in any trouble before then, and then all of a sudden there's this movement, right? And I always thought that was some kind of pagan ritual. Like, literally, I thought maybe they take somebody that was famous and powerful and they sacrifice them. I don't know if that's true or not, but it seems legit because there's no reason. Like, he had the money, he had the power, he had the influence. And then it's like, there's a recorded phone call. And I don't know. The guy seems like a real creep, but they let him get away with it.
Operate,
you know? They let him operate for years. And it just happened to be, you know, the 2016, then it's over. So I don't know. I don't know if there's a set of rules that we're obviously not privy to, but you're in this country. And I know I've said this before, you know, if I was arrested tomorrow, you guys know that they could keep me forever. You know, the National Defense Authorization Act, you can be imprisoned indefinitely. I mean, they can send me to Gitmo, and they can say, well, he's a veteran. He said something on the air. We don't like him. He's an enemy combatant in the New World Order. And you guys know that no one can, a terrorist, right? And you guys know that that is true. Where's the ACLU anymore? Where are all these bleeding heart liberal folks that when I was a kid, they were always trying to get people out of the jail? And where are they in the January 6th people and other people persecuted for their political beliefs? Where are they on censorship and free speech for all those sites and people even on the left that were taken down over the last few years? I think that the silence is deafening coming from those folks that call themselves legal experts.
Well, I'd like to see, too, what would the reaction have been like? What do you think would have been the response to Deshaun Watson? Instead of sexually assaulting 22 women, he had started saying, I'm never going to get vaccinated. COVID is a hoax. Mm-hmm. Or maybe came out and said, you know what? Men can't have babies. This transgenderism is nonsense. Do you think, you know, something tells me he would be in a lot more hot water and probably legal hot water, because that's where we are now. Look at Kyrie Irving. Now, there's a high-profile black athlete who I like more and more when I hear of him. I mean, not only is this guy the balls to be a flat earther, a published flat earther, but this guy is, you know, he's steadfastly refusing to get vaccinated. And look at what his team is doing. His team is refusing to let him play home games, even though they're allowing unvaccinated.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's over now. Yes. They're letting people walk in here that aren't vaccinated, but they won't let him. And that was Eric Adams who said no. You can't play. What is this? What is? I would, if I was Kyrie Irving, I would sue his ass. There must be something wrong with this. Like, I mean, it doesn't make any freaking sense. Go ahead. Sorry, Don.
No, yeah, you're right. So that just again shows that, you know, people think it's, I mean, black athletes are above the law, like, you know, all celebrities are to an extent, but they can't, like, for instance, again, if they start becoming vocal 9/11 truthers or something. Or this he shouting Oswald didn't do it in the middle of games or something to the audience, you know, something like that. If they do that, they're going to suddenly get in trouble. They're going to lose their above the law status. And at that point, you know, if Deshaun had done something like that, they might, well, you know what? I think maybe those 22 women had a case there, you know. So maybe we'll go back and revisit this. So again, they're allowed, but again, it just shows again what kind of society we have that it's considered more of a crime to doubt the narrative on these important subjects like, you know, COVID and transgenderism and things like that, than it is to actually allegedly commit violent crime.
Well, you know, Tone made reference to a couple of high profile people that, you know, like the sacrificial lambs that were thrown into the volcano, like a ritual, like Harvey Weinstein, you know, those are people that people point at. Look, they're high profile people with tons of money that still got, you know, the book thrown at them somehow. And I look at that as just a shifting of the way they want to go, a different direction, right? When they want to usher in like a Me Too movement, there are several different agendas embedded within that movement. And in order to get it to go, they will sacrifice somebody. Like, nobody is above being sacrificed. It's just some people are better equipped to function within the system because of the amount of money they have, right? So, of course, Harvey Weinstein was that guy that they picked off and said, we're going to sacrifice you and show the people that this is unacceptable, right? And, of course, it's that's not the case. Tons of people still running around doing it, but it satisfies the appetite of the public for blood of some sort. And that's what Harvey Weinstein was, in my opinion. Look at Bill Clinton. He's still running around being a piece of trash. Ain't nobody saying something about him. You know what I mean? He's still running around being a complete degenerate, right? So many people. Harvey got hit with it for some reason, right? And I don't know exactly what that reason is, but I think it might have something to do with shifting agendas, and because it's always selfish. It's never for our benefit. It's always for their benefit. We need to look at it that way. Tone, closing thoughts, man.
Well, I just one last thought on Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby, had he just shut up, had he never said anything about baggy pants or absentee fathers or any of the thing in black culture, would he have been thrown in the volcano? Would people have come out against him? I don't know. They never said anything before.
Right.
It was after 2004. He started talking a little bit and getting into politics a tiny bit. And then he was just all of a sudden, by the way, did you know he's a rapist? I'm like, no, I didn't know that. Like, everybody knows this. And then he's like, by the way, Bill, he doped up people and then he raped them. Like, wow, I did not know this for all those years that he was doing it. And so I don't know. Obviously, if he did those things, he deserves to be punished. He was let out now, but he deserved to be convicted. But that, again, you got to watch. You have a certain amount of money, you can get away with things. And that's exactly right. If you cross the line, you start going against the narrative, of what the machine wants you to say, then even with your money, you can't fight it off. And I think Weinstein's a great example of that, too. And who knows? They decided he was on the chopping block. They needed to start, that's the way that they, the wicker man, the old pagan ritual of building the big wicker man and setting it on fire with the person inside. So, I mean, that's I think that's our culture. That's where we are. There is no finding the formula of what actually works, I think, would be, get a lot of money. Be really boring. Make sure that you always parrot the narrative, and you could probably get away with just about anything.
Anything. Right? America Unplugged will be broadcasting live from Burning Man this year, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, let me hit the chat real quick before we get up out of here. I want to say what's up to the people, man. Who's this? Daryl Cantor. What's up, buddy? How you doing? Thank you for listening. Joel Smith is in the house. What's going on, Joel? How you doing? It says Rockfin really needs to get better at telling me when you guys go live. Yeah, it's absolutely. I second that, sir. What's this, Johnny Gospel Seed? What's up, Johnny Gospel Seed? How you doing? Keith Finch, what's up, buddy? Hey, I'll answer that question after we get through the chat about Aftermath. I'll talk to you about that. Who is over in the other spots? Jacob is here. What's up, Jacob? How you doing? Dan is here. What's up, Daniel? I appreciate all you guys coming in here and giving us your thoughts. Jacob, thank you for being as active as you are. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jacob.
Gammy, what's up, buddy? How are you? Yo, Gammy's super freaking smart. Gammy, we should have you on the show one day if you're open to it. You should come on and join us, man. I'd love that, personally. There's a guy named Don Jeffries in the chat. No idea who the hell that is. All you guys, man, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Everybody that's listening live and everybody that's going to listen after the fact in the podcast, we really appreciate it. Tone, do you have any of the iTunes reviews this week or no?
I didn't see any new ones.
Okay.
Maybe they're still pending, but next week for sure. I didn't see anything new on America. If you give us a 5-star review on the America Unplugged podcast, right, we'll read them here.
And we need them. We need them. There's a lot of people that listen, but the reviews aren't up. We need some more reviews. It's a fairly new stream, and we need to get it visible. So if you want to go over there, America Unplugged on Apple Podcast, you want to go over there and give us a 5-star. We'd appreciate it. If you want to give us a 1-star, please don't. Go give it to somebody else. I hear Steve Bannon has a podcast. You want to take it out on him? Go ahead. So Keith wants to know, is it bad to ask what happened to aftermath.fm? No, it's not. You can go over to Mr. Gates' podcast. That's Haterazzi. He did a whole episode on it, on what went down. It's surface level, but he did that. Pretty much, it was a bad situation run, and it was from who it was run. It had nothing to do with Clyde Lewis. Let me put that out there. Clyde had nothing to do with that. It was Rob Davenport, and pretty much he didn't know what the hell he was doing. So bottom line, that's what it was. But there's a lot more to it. So if you want to know a little bit more, go over to Mr. Gates's podcast, Haterazzi, and he did a whole episode on it. And then if you have any more questions, email him. I'm sure he'll tell you. He'll be more than happy to tell you what went down. All right, Mr. Tony Atterburn, the wisest of all the wolves, tell the people where they can find you.
Yeah, I'll have to check out that episode, Billy, because I just kind of thought it was because I went live every day. Every time I go on a new platform, I go live. I'm building up an audience, it implodes. You can find me at arterburn.news is my website. Wisewolf.gold if you need to talk to me about precious metals, owning some gold and silver, which even the Russian government, our government won't tell you to own gold, but the Russian government's telling you to get some gold. Because of the coming collapse of fiat currencies around the globe. So pay attention to that.
Go get some gold, ladies and gents. Tony, we should talk about that. I might throw some money at you so it could actually retain some value. Joel Smith in the chat left a review for Wise Wolf Gold and Silver. I felt bad about Google doing our brother Tony like that. So,
Years of reviews. Thank you so much. And anybody who gives me a review on the Google page for Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange, I'll send you a silver dime Absolutely. You just send me an email. I'll send you a silver dime for free. Yeah, that was a quick story. That was last week on Friday. I checked my page, just doing my marketing rounds. It was deleted. Like all years of reviews, my maps. I mean, they erased it. I mean, there was no history of Wise Wolf existing as a bricks and mortar business. And that's been around for many years. So I had to start all over again.
So let's try to do that too. I mean, forget the 5-star on Apple Podcast. I mean, if you could do both, go ahead. But if we're going to prioritize here, go over to Wise Wolf on Google. What is it? Wise Wolf Gold and Silver on Google?
You go to Google and just put in Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange. It'd be Branson, Missouri. You can go give it a review. And if you've done business with me or know somebody, and I'll send you a free silver dime. Just email me.
That's incredible, man. That's a hell of a thing. Thank you, Tony. And thank you, everybody. Thank you, Joel. And everybody else who's going to do it later on, I thank you in advance. Mr. Don Jeffries, the legendary. Tell the people where they can find
you. Well, lots of places. You can get my Substack writings at donaldjeffries.media. My blog is donaldjeffries.news. My latest book, On Borrowed Fame, Money, Mystery, and Corruption in the Entertainment World is still relatively new. So I'd like to see that get some love. The Donald Jeffries Show airs every Wednesday on Ocelli.com. We've been off for the last few weeks because Ocelli was working on something. So hopefully be back this week from 6 p.m. Eastern. And of course, I Protest, produced by the wonderful Tony Arterburn himself, airs every Friday from 5 to 7 Eastern time on the same platforms it's streaming on now, my Facebook, YouTube, and lots of stuff out there you can find if you search for me.
Beautiful. My name is Billy Ray Valentine. Go check me at the Infinite Fringe, .podbeam.com or the Infinite Fringe on Apple Podcasts. And of course, AmericaUnplugged.com. Make sure you go over there and subscribe. Give a 5-star rating if you can. And right here on Rockfin every Saturday at 12 p.m. Eastern, give or take. All right. So keep that in mind next time Rockfin doesn't send you a notification about us going live or you happen to miss that email. That's what we do here on America Unplugged. Ladies and gentlemen, we're getting up out of here. We will see you next week. Lord willing, you guys stay safe, okay? Don't do anything crazy, and certainly don't burn the place down while we are gone. Ladies and gents, take it easy now. God bless you all. Bye-bye.